Even though my spirit's low, and it seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, 'cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Sometimes our battles get hard, and it seems we're fighting a lot. I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and give up too, 'cause I do believe you're bound to lose. I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, 'cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, 'cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You must remember, can't cross the bloodline.
Let's all stand. We'll change over the service this evening. Claim the DNA of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you,
love you,
love you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
You love the Lord tonight.
Pour out your power and love as we sing,
you, Lord.
Holy, holy, holy.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you in the middle of the week. Good to have Brother John and Sister Mai with us. They will not be going home. All roads up north are closed from now till the rapture. So they're going to Texas, and then they're going to turn around and come right back because they can't go north. Sorry. We had them here for about 3 years. We were talking about it later on, this or earlier, and it was just a pleasure to have them with us. And fell absolutely in love with them. So We sure appreciate them coming down. They want to visit Dad tomorrow and see him. Good to see Brother George Blaylock back again with us. We sure appreciate him. Think about him all the time. And good to have you with us. And good to have our visitors. You never been here before?
No.
Okay. You from here?
No, we're from Idaho.
Idaho. When did you start driving?
2 days ago.
That's still a pretty good haul 2 days ago from Idaho. Driving.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, good to have you with us. How'd you know where we were?
The Lord sent us here from Idaho.
Praise God. Yeah. Well, we'll take you. But good to have you with us. There's a little bit of a shadow over the church today. Sister Frieda passed this morning about 2:00. And we want to remember the family. I talked to Sister Jeannie about 4:00 today, and she has been cremated already, and there will be a memorial service later on. So there won't be any service at the moment. The kids are going to get together and decide when to have a memorial service. So that's already done. She's already where she should be. She's dancing on the, over there in the sixth dimension. And listen, it's bad, Brother Hal. We just did his funeral a little while ago, but we're going to talk a little bit about faith tonight. And Dad preached this sermon a long time ago. It was called Faith for the Time, and he took it in the aspect of the little woman at the well. And Brother Brown did say she had faith for the time. All right, so we're going to speak tonight. We're going to veer away from the Statue of Perfect Man, 135 services in a row. So I'm slow. We're Southerners. Sorry, brother. But 135 services, and we just barely got up the Statue of Perfect Man to a holy, where it says Holy Spirit. So we just are taking our time, but I want to veer off a little bit and speak tonight on faith for the time. So remember the ones, I think Sister Rachel and Sister, bless your heart, they're going to Bethel Camp and Cook. So bless your heart. Better you than us. Yeah, we used to do it. Listen, we did it for years and years and years, and we sure appreciate y'all going. Some of our young adults are going too, so we want to pray for them for traveling mercies. I sure would like to have seen that camp because it's beautiful from the outside of it. So we sure are looking forward to seeing some pictures from that. Also remembered that on November the 12th, as Brother Ryan says, we'll have our Thanksgiving dinner. Brother Mike Hantis will be with us that Sunday morning. We will not have a second service, but we will have the church will pay for the meat, and y'all will bring the vegetables and the desserts and all that. So December the 10th will be our annual church Christmas dinner down at Hidden Acres, where we always had it before, and where we have our Valentine's banquet. Watch Night Service it'll be our 52nd annual. Our church is 52 years old. We've never not had a Watch Night Service, so we're going to continue that. With Brother Luke Gibson will be here, and also we got a special Brother Luis and Sister Christine. They're leaving on the 24th of November, going to Honduras. And then Brother Aaron is going a little bit later than that. And Brother Christian from Ohio is going a little bit after that. And they're going to all be down there. And Brother Michael's going now, we heard. So they're going to have a pretty good company down there. I know Brother Bob went last year and had a good time. And it'll change your life if you go to another country. It will change your perspective and your faith. It'll change your faith, that's for sure. But Brother Eric Gallo is a brother that we support here from the church from Honduras, and he's coming back after they come back. He's coming back here and bringing his family with him, so he'll be speaking that Saturday night. I'll keep announcing this, but Watch Night's on the 31st, so on the 30th we will have a service, and Saturday night we won't have a Sunday morning service or Sunday afternoon. It'll all be at 8:00. Just remember these, they'll all be posted. But Brother Luis and him will be leaving on November the 24th. So if you got anything extra to give, remember we were going to try to pile some money together and give it to Brother Luis and Sister Christine and the girls. They're leaving on the 24th of November. So just remember these things. We're trying to, it's almost the end of the year. Almost another year, Brother John. But you know what? We're going to just keep fighting the good fight of faith. We just got to. We can't stop. And there's not a desire for us to stop. If you're a true born-again Christian, there's no desire for you to quit. Thank you. There's no desire for you to quit. Now, you may want to quit. But that thing inside of you, Brother John, it don't want to quit. And I'm saying Brother John and Brother John. There's two Johns over here. But good to have them again with us and our visitors. You're not a visitor anymore. And good to have the short guy standing over next to Sister Barbara. He's been here before, so with the grandson. So it's good to have you with us again, buddy. Good to see you, man. Good to see you. He's about 6'9", so he's short. Short kid. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 11, and we'll start our this will be just kind of a one sermon. We're going to kind of preach a little bit tonight. We usually teach some. And for those of you from Idaho, my father is the pastor, but he has had a stroke 2 years ago, and he is in a rehab facility now, and just keep him in prayer. So I'm pitch hitting till he gets better, and we see him back here again. Amen. All right. Faith for the time. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, tonight we commit all things to you, Lord. We commit ourselves. We commit the congregation, all of our minds, our hearts, Lord, to be centered toward one thing, and that's, Lord, to see your quick and swift return. And see the quick and swift return of the saints that have gone on, Lord, that if you have preserved in the sixth dimension. Father, according to the prophet, he went there and saw them, Lord. And we believe it 100% because we know that there's a place for a Christian to go, and that's where she went, Lord, this morning about 2 a.m. Father, I pray that you'd just be with the family and bless them, Sister Jeannie and Sister Tootsie and all the different ones. It's the son there, Joseph and Lexi, different ones. Lord, we pray that you'd be with them. Take care of them, Lord. Just hug them like you can hug, Lord, and just love them like you can love, Father. We ask you to just be with us now in the furtherment of the service. Good to have our visitors and Brother John and Sister Maya with us, Lord. We sure, you know, we love them with the love of the Lord, and we sure appreciate you sending them down. They want to visit Dad, too, so we sure appreciate that. And also, be with Brother Danny Del Mundo. He just sent a text, and he's coming. He's coming Friday, I think, Lord, and just be with him and bless him. He's not coming to preach, but he's coming to visit Brother Dale. So they all love Brother Dale. Brother George Quinn had a wonderful time, Lord. We appreciate that you give him that time to be with him too, Father. Just be with us now in furtherment of service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand. Now look, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You may be seated. The Lord at his blessing. And if you'll remember, several years ago, Brother Joe Green was preaching here, and he preached a sermon called Now Faith. We need a now faith. We need a faith for the time. All right? They had a faith before. They had a faith before. Now there's a faith for this time. We have to have rapturing faith. No one else has had to have rapturing faith but the end time bride, all right? And if we say some things that are strange, just bear with us. We believe God sent a prophet according to Malachi 4, and we're going to quote him, and we believe him, and we build all of our faith around Jesus Christ. But we did need a prophet because we had so many differences and you know, denominations and a lot of things of this baptism and that over there and this over here. But everything was brought together, I believe, by a seventh angel messenger. Amen. All right, so we appreciate God sending us one. Amen. He sent him to me. Amen. Behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet. He sent him to me. Amen. All right, I don't know about you. You got to believe that he sent him. Got was sent to you too, right? So let's look at this word faith. Faith means fidelity, faithfulness. Now look, the character of one who can be relied on. When you say, even in your public life and your private life, you put faith in things. Now, I know sometimes our faith gets torn down because we do put our faith in stuff, and it falls apart. Or we put faith in a person, and that person falls apart. All right? But you better put your faith in Jesus Christ, because he never has fell apart, never will fall apart. Amen. Come on, somebody. We're going to preach tonight. We're not going to teach a little bit, so you're going to have to say amen. Somebody got to have to say it. Amen. I'll say it myself. So the character of one who can be relied on. So we come tonight relying on that Jesus Christ will be here to tell us something. Amen. All right, to a fivefold ministry. All right. So the word substance means that which actually exists. That exists. That's tangible. That is a substance. So faith is the substance or the evidence right here. A real being, a substantial quality, nature of a person or thing. Look, watch this. The steadfastness of what? Mind. Firmness, courage. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit about a battle in just a few minutes. The steadfastness of mind, firmness, courage, resolution, confidence, firm trust, and assurance. That's faith is all these things. But now you got to center your faith in something. All right? Like I said before, you put it in politics. Put it in government. I work for the government. I work for the post office. Please don't put your faith in you getting your mail on time. Praise the Lord anyhow. But anyway, we need to put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And that God did send us a prophet. He did send us an end time message that we believers, and that's why we call believers, because we believe it. All right. Now, just for a minute, I want to talk to you a second when we get into this, but let's talk a minute about the social media and family just for a minute. I know most of you know that we were on WhatsApp last night and this morning, and just to make everything to be covered over, as a church, we need to make sure we have all of our facts straight, number one, and then make sure that, because we know all, most of us all knew what, know what happened, that a sister found out that her sister had died through social media. That's not good. Listen, even the sinners out there in NBC, CBS, and ABC, they won't release a name until what? The next of kin has been told, right? The government will say, all right, we had so many deaths, and they'll come to your door. If you're in the Army or Navy or Marine, they'll come to your door, right, Brother John? Brother John's in the military. They'll come to your door, and they will not let it be known any other way. You're not going to get a letter. You're going to get a person that's going to tell you so-and-so of your family or what more passed away. All right? Everybody with me? Right. So let's just be sensitive to that, all right, and make sure that all the family knows before we start posting things, all right? I would suggest that maybe if you wanted to, I know I got a private WhatsApp or an email from, text message from someone, and that's the way probably it should be. If you want to text, maybe me, and then let me say, okay, we can present this. You can have a family member tell you, yeah, but remember, church family is church family. I know we're tighter than most families are, all right? I understand that. But remember, when it comes down to brass tacks, when it comes down to the rubber meets the road, we don't make the decisions for the family as far as burial, as far as singing songs, as far as who's going to do the funeral, right? Right. We don't do that because that's family. Blood relative, family. All right? So let's let the blood relative know and make sure they know first. How would you like to find out, wake up at 6 o'clock this morning and look on the news and found out your wife got killed in a car wreck last night? And listen, nothing was done. I've talked to a lot of people, so nothing's done maliciously. Nothing was done to harm anybody. But let's just stop just for a second and ask them one question. Has all the family, blood family, been told? That's all you got to do. Or you can just, if you find out about it, send me a text. All right, we're all on text. We're all on WhatsApp. We can do a private WhatsApp, but just bring it to one person. That way that the sister won't find out that the sister passed away by social media. It's just not good. Okay. She was very highly upset this morning when I talked to her. So, just keep that in mind. This is information age. Social media is just here to stay. We just got it. Even in Idaho, there's social media. May not be as much, but there's social media. It's all over the place. So just, I know we got a church family. I know it, but we got natural blood family. And we have to respect the blood family first.
Right. That's right.
The mama, the daddy, the brothers, the sisters. We have to respect that. And you have to respect that. And you may sit in your mind and go, why in the world do they do it? But that's not your business. Okay? It's not your business. It's the family. All right? So just leave it at that. Be careful with social media. Be careful when it comes to a tragedy. Now, for prayer or for a baby being born or something like that, yeah, that's not going to harm anybody. But a tragedy or something like that, let's please just kind of either like funnel it through me, like I said, or make sure the question's asked, does all the family know yet? Okay? So, because look, one more thing I was thinking about this morning, the process of grief, everybody grieves different. Some cry, some are totally silent, some get real, you know, they get over in a corner and then they have their big cry, or some don't cry at all. So grief is processed in a different way. As a Christian, we shouldn't grieve as much. Come on. The Bible tells us. I read it at Brother Howell's funeral. The Bible tells us to rejoice at the death of a saint. We got it backwards. We rejoice when a kid's born and cry when somebody passes. It's supposed to be totally opposite. Now, I'm telling you, that's the Bible. That's not good news for modern men. That's the scripture tells us to rejoice. I rejoiced this morning. You know why? Because I said, hey, I know that Frida, I've known her since she was my first girlfriend. I know most of y'all know that, but we were 13, 14 years old, so we've known each other all of our life pretty much. But she's had a hard life. But she's faithful at church. She's faithful to her family, really faithful to her family. But I thought, Lord, here's one thing for sure. You know, the Bible tells us, and Brother Brown tells us, that Christians don't die. Ain't that right? Come on. Christians don't die. You already died. If you're born again tonight, you're already dead. You died in Christ. And if you're already dead, Brother John, you can't die again. So Sister Frida didn't die. She just got out of that. She just got out of that shell she was in that was full of cancer and hurting and pain and agony. And when she stepped over into that other dimension, I'm sure Brother Brown told us, he said, I'm just going to preach for a minute, get off my notes for a second. But Brother Brown said that God would send somebody down to the river that you know.
Right.
Praise God. Because you know what? You've never done this before. You never died this like this before. You never passed from this life into the next life. All right? Right? So it's going to make it a lot softer if through that fog, her sister Becky died many, many years ago. Long, Joyce, how long? Lord, I mean, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Brother Brown said he'd send somebody down there that you know. So you've got everybody that was in her life all the way, but Becky was her blood sister, and she died of cancer years and years ago. So there she was standing at the river. She said, come on, sis. This is what you have been waiting on. This right here is what you've been waiting on. You're not going back. You're going to stay right here for a little while, then we're all going to go back. When we all get out of the way, we're going to go back. They're going to go back. Come back here. And I'll tell you one thing's for sure, and I love this. Now, the Bible talks about the death angel. We talk about the death, you know, death at knocking at the door, and you talk about death angel. Well, now, if a Christian can't die, who comes and gets you? When you pass from this life into the next life, who comes and gets you? The death angel? I don't think so, because he goes and gets dead people. So I'm sure the death angel, though, he's like, well, I got to go down to the hospital there and pick this lady up. All of a sudden, a man steps into the picture. Glowing white, beautiful. He said, hey, I'll take care of this one.
Amen.
This one's mine. This one's mine. I'm Michael. I own this place. This one's mine. Death angel, you just go get some of them other people. This one's mine. She accepted me years ago, so I'm going to help her across. That's the way I see it. Listen, remember, there's more going on in the other dimension than there are here.
Yeah.
Amen? Like right now, fighting and everything, they're going on right now in your mind. But But the process of grief should be softer as a Christian. We should, sure, we're going to miss her. Sure, we're going to miss all of our loved ones. But remember, we still got to fight. If you're in a battle, we're in a battle, and I'll read it later on. We're in a battle. The battle that we're in, Brother John, you were in the war. You don't just stop because one person dies. You got to move on. Amen. You got to press, Paul said, press toward the mark of the high calling. I got a goal to meet. I got somewhere I got to go. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, that death angel will come and get you, and I'll promise you, he will not be nice. He'll take you in another place. Just as sure as I'm standing here. But if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Michael, I believe Michael will come get you. Because you're part of Michael anyway. He's going to say, hey, you're my family. I'm taking you right on in. All right? Don't worry about this. Oh, there's a sting. But Paul said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? So let's look just a second before we get started. And I know somebody's had, some people have had questions concerning faith and And let's just talk his family tonight, I guess. But we think that, well, why are all these things happening? Do we not have faith? Why are these things happening to us? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Well, let's look at the life of a prophet. Now, we know William Branham was a prophet. He was a Holy Ghost-filled believer, a preacher, and had a message for the end time. Amen. For me and you. All right? Is everybody with me? All right? So you would think, in our human mind, that God would, you know, he'd just like step in a room and all the stuff just, like I said before, you know, when you get born again, you still get bills. Yeah, still got to make payments. Groceries still cost a lot more now than they did. Okay? But your battle is not that. Your battle is what? Here. It's not flesh and blood. It's here. It's inside. So Brother Branham was a prophet. Now, here's a prophet coming down, and he disobeys what God said. Hope and Sharon Rose paid the price. Come on. And every prayer, you talk about a man that would stand there and pray for people every night and see them get healed. Also, the stomach issues that he had. And I'll read it here just real quick. For years, he had that stomach issue. He'd pray for the sick. He'd see cancers fall off people. He'd see blind eyes open. He'd see deaf ears. I'm talking about miracles. I'm not talking about just maybe. Miracles after miracle. And he'd go home and be throwing up. He couldn't even eat. That's a paradox. That would drive me crazy. But did the death of his wife and child stop him one second? No. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he walked out and he preached until 1965 when the Lord took him home. And he never stopped. Some of us would stop, roll over, play dead, whatever. Also having the stomach issue. I'll read this right here. I found this in 1950. Brother Bram said, sometimes when I go up in the mountains, I have a picture of the audience. I set it down maybe by the side of a tree and just kneel and pray and pray and pray. God will heal them, and it's to my interest. I like to see people get well. No one can enjoy, appreciate good health any more than I do when I've spent much time being very, very sickly in my young days. One infirmity especially bothered me was stomach trouble. For years, I've drank barley water and eat crackers and maybe start walking and start spitting it right up, in other words. Sometimes I went to all kinds of doctors and clinics. Just nothing can be done. I'm sure he prayed, Lord. You know, Paul did the same thing. Paul said, Lord, can you just take this away from me? I got something that buffets me all the time. What did the Lord say? Well, now, Paul, this is a picnic now. We've turned it into a picnic, not a battle, so I'm going to take that away from you. You know what he tell Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Didn't take it away from him. Right. Nothing can help you. They give me medicine and everything. Just couldn't stop it. And I went on just the same. About 7 or 8 years constantly, and I would just eat. I would try not to look at the table and see people eat and sit down. I would try to drink my barley water, you know, and maybe a little prune juice for breakfast. Barley water for dinner, need a few crackers. Soda crackers with barley water. Maybe a graham cracker occasionally. When I see people, I go to work, pick and shovel, work hard all day. Let's continue on through. He weighed 118 pounds, 20 pounds. I think that now all these years after suffering through that, my eyes are 20/20. He actually almost went blind because he lost nutrients. When he threw that up, he lost nutrients and he almost went blind. So this is a prophet that prayed for people that saw miraculous, I mean, hundreds of thousands of miracles. Now he said his eyes are 20/20. In other words, God healed him. All right. Now he weighed 153 pounds, and he's very thankful. So that's what a prophet went through. So let's not question our faith, because I'm going to read you something here in a few minutes where the prophet of God tells us that your faith is what works the gift. Your faith is what works the gift. Now, he had a gift of divine healing, and there were times like Sunday. We saw where Sister Mary was having a seizure there in the seat. And then we prayed the prayer of faith over her, and now she's home and well, and they can't find nothing wrong with her. All right? So praise God for that. Sometimes we look at the bad ones and don't look at the good ones. That was a victory. Amen. Brother George preached his heart out Sunday, and there the devil came in the house and tried to disturb us. He had to leave. And then, you know what? The doctors testified that everything's okay. All right? So see, we got to look at the victories too. As long as also looking at the so-called temporary defeat. Amen. Right. Remember, Christians never defeated. All right? But we have to go through life, and we see death, and we see life, and we see all these things, and we process grief. And hear what Brother Brown says. Don't judge a man because he can pray a prayer of faith for the sick, and they get well. Don't judge a man because he might do some supernatural miracle as being a sainted person. But the only way that you can judge is by the love that they have for Christ and for each other. Right. What Brother Bram say? He said, give me love. Right. Take all the gifts away from me. Give me love. Right. Because love conquers everything. Oh, yeah. All right? Listen to this. So let's bow our head just for a moment. Talking about fight with what we have. Watch what Brother Brown says. I want you to think of this over. You say, Brother Brown, I could never preach the gospel. Maybe you're not supposed to. I could never have faith for the sick. Maybe you're not supposed to. I could never sing like them singers from Sweden and around. I could never do that. Maybe you're not supposed to. But what you have, won't you rise today and go towards the darkest spot and fight as only you can fight. Amen. As only you can fight. Well, if I had, don't get in somebody else's cornfield. Right. Don't get in somebody else's place. Stay in yours. Right. You say, I've never done nothing. Brother Brown said, sit in a pew, pay a tithe, and pray for everybody. Amen. What did he say that was the success of his meetings one time? Two ladies got in a closet and was praying. He said, that was a success of my meetings. Right. Not that he was a prophet, not that anything. He said, those two women were the success of my meeting. Brother Bram, 1951, said, see, I'm trying to say that it's not for me. Your faith is what operates that. Without faith, there's nothing. You can't receive anything. The people who beat him on the head with a stick said, prophesy. There was no virtue at all for them. It's those who believe. 1958, Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Brother Bram said, look, now friends, I don't know what more he could do. I don't know one thing more he could do. He's proved to you that he's not dead. He's alive and in here. Now, what good would me do standing here anointed if you were out there and wouldn't believe? It takes your faith. Your faith is what touches him and does these things. It isn't me. I don't operate that. You operate it with your own faith. It's what does it. See, it's you, not me, you. All right? This man was given a gift of divine healing, but he stands up and says, you operate it. What the angel said, if you can get the people to believe you, in other words, believe you can pray, believe that you can contact God, but you still can't go up there haphazard with a sucker in your mouth and chewing gum and popping bubbles. You got to go up there with faith and reverence. Amen. Listen to this. It doesn't isn't necessary to come up here and kneel down and pray through until you're saved. You're saved already, but you have to accept it. Your praying doesn't do it. Your faith is what you're saved by, not by prayer. Wow. But by faith are you saved. Same thing by healing. I'm sure we all understand that. 1956, what visions are it? Up here in old Spindale, North Carolina, where Brother Joe Green living up there close. See, your faith is not what you feel. Your faith is what you believe. Remember, faith is a substance. Faith. Listen, I was talking to somebody today. hope is good. It's good to start out with hope. But if I just hope I got to church tonight, no, I had faith I was going to get here. And guess what? When I arrived, I don't have to have faith to get here anymore, brother. I'm already here. So believe in what you're in. Get in what you're in. Have faith for the journey, but right here is where it's all over with. Hundreds of people. Look, that's what happened here at the platform when I have healing services. Hundreds of people that way. They come to the platform. Oh, Brother Branham, I got all faith. What? Now, this is the prophet. If it was ink, it wouldn't dot an I. Right. I'm just telling you what he's saying. See, you've got hope instead of faith. Faith is positive. There's nothing can move it. It's positive. No matter how sick you got, how everything went, nothing. Now, if you're trying to bluff it, it won't take bluffing. The devil, he's a bluff himself, and he knows how to run a bluff. But when you got the goods, it don't take loud hollering.
Right.
Don't take stomping and screaming. We see a lot of that. That's truly unnecessary. It takes faith. He will recognize it. Don't worry. Just say the word.
Amen.
One quote. Watch this. Brother Ram, 1951, talking about the angel of the Lord. He's explaining the gift. He said, your faith is what operates the divine gift. Your faith. Now, this is one. I want to read you this one. Shouldn't be very long tonight. I just wanted to read this to you, and then we'll make some comments in a minute. This is kind of long, but listen. And I want you to don't get caught up in all the paragraphs that we're going to read. But basically, this is when Brother Branham, there was this lady that the baby died inside of her. He prayed for her. She got some kind of disease and that she was dying. He prayed for her. The disease went away. He calls it something here in a minute. The baby had died. Because she was uremic, whatever that means. I'm not a nurse. She had uremic, all right? He prayed for her, and we'll see in a minute. They did a blood test after they prayed, and it was over. It was done. There was nothing in her. She was fine. Remember, she goes home. They do all the stuff they need to do. She goes home, tells her mama, says, Mama, I'm going home. I'm going to read it all. Mama, I'm going home. Yeah, honey, you were going home. No, Mama, I'm going home. She said, you healed. She said, yeah, we're going home. We'll all go in the rapture together. She said, no, Mama, I'm going to die. I'm going home. And she died. And Brother Branham was out of the country or out of the tabernacle, and somebody did her funeral. When Brother Branham got back, you're going to see here in a minute, prophet makes a mistake. No tomatoes. He'll tell you he did. He said, God, you owe me an understanding. In other words, you owe me an explanation of why that woman died, and you pronounced her healed. So let's read it. One day I come home about 4 years ago or five, something like that, and this young girl, which was about 8 years old when she was on the cradle roll, she had been married and had two children. She was lying in the hospital out there at the point of death. She was about 4 months old, five, with a baby, and the baby had died, and they couldn't operate because she had uremic. Google that. I didn't. And they couldn't operate, so had to let the mother die too. Can't operate. See, the baby would kill her like that, so she was just dying. That's all. Wasn't no chance for her. I went out to see her. She had sent for me. I went to the hospital. She was under the oxygen tent. I raised up the little flap, talked to her a little bit, and I said, you remember me? She said, sure, Brother Bill, I remember you. Do you understand how sick you are? Yes, I do. I said, that's why I sent for you. I said, well, how is it with you and the Lord? She said, Brother Bill, I'm not ready to go. Well, there we got down and prayed, and her mother and her husband, many of them in the room, and her mother and husband started crying. And then I asked her, and she got right with God, paid her vows, come back and made God the promise, and if she'd be forgiven, how she'd love him and sorry for her sins, the way she'd live. Now, this is working out to be a miracle story so far. And went on with her repentance and crying. And after a while, I got up and went out of the building. And the next morning, they called me up to come back down there. And come to find out, they come in that morning for a test to see how the uremic condition had advanced and found out she didn't have a speck of it. It was all gone, every bit of it. Uremic poison had left her. The doctors were so excited till they said, my, why, it's something very strange. We'll get her ready, and if it's still that way by the morning, so we'll keep giving her penicillin and whatever there was giving her, keeping the infection down. We'll operate, take the dead baby before it sets in something else, said if she's all right then, all right? Well, two or three times that day, they tested her again, and that night late, they tested her, nothing was wrong, perfectly all right. Prepped her, took her out from under the oxygen tent, everything was fine. They was going to operate on her the next morning, take the baby. Well, I went out there because that was a... that this was done. Now, I never knew it. The Lord never told me nothing about it. You could ask the people if you wish. He never said it would, but oh my, to see such a thing, her husband being a sinner, come over and say, Brother Branham, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus. And I said, all right, just kneel down here and take hold of your wife's hand, and then you walk this straight life together. The mother came back. She said, Brother Branham, you know, here's me and my children. We've all been in and out and in and out and around the tabernacle and things. We sit and listen to you preach. We'll go up to the altar and come back. Said, I'm backslid too, Brother Branham. She said, I want to come back to the Lord Jesus for his goodness to my child. Here's the whole family being saved. Right. All right? Well, you see, that's very nice, but you don't come to the Lord Jesus because of that. In other words, she was going to come because of that. Along toward midnight, 12:01, her mother dozed off to sleep, and she called and said, Mother? I said, yes, honey. Said, what do you want? She said, you know, I'm so happy. She said, I'm so happy of you being happy. She said, I'm at peace with God. I said, oh, how fine it is. And a few minutes again, she called back and said, Mother, yes. I said, I'm going home. She said, I know you are. Yes, sweetheart. The doctor will take the baby tomorrow, and then about a day or two, when your incision heals up, we'll get away from here. You go back home and be happy again, you and your hubby and little children, and be a Christian and live for God. She said, Mother, I'm going to my heavenly home. She said, sure, honey, at the end of the journey. She had so much confidence in Brother Brown praying for her, and everything was all right and done. She was just not going to, you know, she's not going to allow that thought to come to her mind. She said, this is the end of the journey. Oh, she said, now what's the matter? Said, the end of the journey. Said, yes, Mother, within a few minutes, I'll be gone. Well, she thought she just got nervous and delirious. She called the nurse. The nurse took her respiration. Everything was normal. And within 5 minutes, she was gone. She was dead. Then when I came back home in a week or two, he'd been gone. I think Brother Graham preached the girl's funeral. When I come back home and Mita told me that girl died that night, I went to see the mother, yeah. And I don't know what caused me to do it. Now watch, it's a prophet. But I said, Lord God, you owe me an understanding. See, after me going out there and telling that husband and him coming to the Lord after you've done these things for him and all like that and then take that girl's life, I said, you owe me an understanding. Let me stop there real quick. Don't ever tell God that. I don't care if you're a prophet, priest, or a king. Don't ever tell God that. Because watch what happens. When you tell God something like that, he'll leave you sitting alone. He don't owe me nothing. I'm in debt to him. Well, he just let me pout it out for a few days. Now watch, a few days. Now look, then he said, and after 3 or 4 months... One day I was out in the creek bank, and the Lord spoke to me in the vision and said, now, go to her mother and say this to her mother. Did not her time come the year before when she was drowning in a creek on a picnic? She should have went at that time. Now, look at the providence and sovereignty of God. She should have died right then. But by foreknowledge, he knew if he'd give her a little more time, she'd make it right. Thank God. Amen. Thank God he did that for all of us. Right? Amen. She should have went at that time, but I had to take her when she was ready to go. She wasn't ready then. And that's why all this happened and why you went out there. Then I got down and cried. I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me, your poor, stupid servant. I should have never said that, Lord. And I went back down to the lady, and she lived over on Market Street, went over to her, and I said, I want to ask you a question. Sure, Brother Bill. Is it true that this girl almost drowned? She said, that's right, Brother Branham. Said her husband, they had to get her out of the creek. They had to use artificial respiration to pump pressure. They had to get a machine, pump the water out of her. had her skirt on. She was having a picnic. She was out there, stepped on some sand, slipped off over her head and strangled in the water. They didn't notice her, and directly they seen her coming up and going down. Anyway, she almost died. I said that was her time to go, because that's what God said. See, God knows what he's doing. I'm telling you tonight, whatever we have a question, and I know we do in our mind, we question, Sister Frieda, and we question Brother Hal, we question all the different ones, and we question God. That's okay. You better question him inside your heart, though. And do it real gingerly. Because he don't owe you an explanation. He don't owe us an explanation. See, God knows what he's doing. Now, the Lord probably would have told, me that if I hadn't taken the attitude that I did. When I said, Lord, you owe me to tell me about that. He don't owe you nothing. Amen. Isaiah 64:8 said, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art the potter. And we are all are the work of thy hand. Romans 9 verse 20 says, nay, but O man, who art thou that replies to God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, praise God, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and one unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with which long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? There's a group over here, and there's a group over here. God made them both. God made them both. It's their choice. Their faith or non-faith, that's what makes the difference. So, yeah, we question why God takes. We question, there's several people in this building that their husbands have passed away at a at a very young age. And we wonder. But let's not. Number one, don't fault yourself. Don't fault God, for one. Don't fault yourself. There's a providence of God. Let me read this right here real quick. God is sovereign. Now, that means when you say sovereignty, that means he has complete control. There's nobody he has to have counsel with. Now, the Bible tells us that. But he has sovereignty means if we're a sovereign country, that means no other country can tell us what to do. If we have a sovereign church, no one can come in here and tell us what to do because we're sovereign. We are our own. So God is his own. He is sovereign. We need to put it in his hands that he knows the end from the beginning, not us. God is sovereign. This is the 1964 harvest time. Brother Brown said, who could tell God how to make things in the beginning when there was just him by himself? See, if we have eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. So if we have eternal life, if you have it now, we were with God right then, a part of God. We were his attribute. We are now his attribute, because in the beginning was the Word. Word was the thought expressed. So we were his thought. Then we were expressed down here. So we were his thoughts, then expressed in the Word. It became what we are. In other words, we became into human form to prove God. God's going to prove to the world through us, through the bride, who he really is. Because they're not going to see him again. They're going to see you. All right? And if it wasn't there then, never will be. In other words, remember, I said before, God doesn't change his mind. If he loved you before the foundation of the world, praise God, he loves you today. Amen. He never didn't love you. He can't not love you if he loved you one time. Thank God for the sovereignty of the Lord. Amen. That we can put our surety on that one person that he can do that. We can't. We're as shifted as sand is. We have our ups and we have our downs. We have our good days and bad days. We have people taken out of our life. We have people put into our life just to persecute you. True. The potter, as Romans, well, it's for your benefit. If you're a child of God, it's for your benefit. The potter, as Romans 8 tells us, who can tell the potter? Can the clay say, make me thus, see? No, God has to display all of his attributes. And tonight, you and I are part of the attribute of God. Sister Frieda was an attribute of God. In his choosing and sovereignty to take her out of her pain and her despair, he took her home. No question. See, no, God has to display all of his attributes. So he has to make one vessel of dishonor, the other one to honor, to show that one up, of course. Now, but he is sovereign, you see. Nobody can tell him what to do. And he makes us different. Even we're told in the Bible that the star is different one from another. One star different from another. You know, there is a difference in heaven in angels, angelic beings. There's angels, cherubim, seraphims. And they're different. We're all different. And God has big mountains, plains, prairies, grass, desert, water. He's different. He's a God of variety. But he's still sovereign. You can't take away from that. Listen to this. And we wonder why some get healed. Now, Brother Brown tells us that a prostitute could come by and get healed and a real saint of God lose their healing. All right? 1965, not proving his word. I cannot. You say, what about me? I could not tell you. It's sovereign. All the works of God is sovereign. There will be many people healed crossing this platform tonight. Everybody with me? Stay with me just for a minute. It's only 8 o'clock. It's late for old people, but like me. But I'm awake. There will be many people healed crossing this platform tonight. There will probably be many not. It's all in the sovereign of God. Who can tell him what to do? No one. He works according to his own will, his own plan, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I counted not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Let's read it right here. Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's stop here just for a minute. Talk about being in a battle and not a picnic. When you are in a battle, and Brother George, bless his heart, he's from Ireland, but he knows more about the Civil War and every battle that was ever fought in the Civil War and what should have happened if this one moved this way and what would have happened if Lee would have went that way and what would have happened if this one would have moved. He's got a chessboard, and he just plays like this with battles. I don't even know who fought any war except Lee and Grant. That's the only two, and Longstreet because he lived here. That's all I know, but he knows them all, Brother John, and he's like, well, see, that's a battle. You have a battle plan. But remember, when you charge, you've made a commitment. You made a commitment. When you say, I can charge and I can take this hill, you have made a commitment. And when you head out of those woods, every gun of the devil is going to be on top of you. The only way for you to survive is the sovereignty of God. Look, knowing you'll make it. Knowing you'll make it. But you got to go through the battle to know whether you can make it or not. We were talking, and it just hit me. I was preaching for Brother Ron Spencer several years ago in Virginia. And, of course, you know, a lot of they're from Virginia. And most of the Confederate battles were fought in Virginia, Pittsburgh, you know, Gettysburg, right in that Virginia, Shenandoah Valley place. There were 600,000 men killed in the war, the 4 years of war. 600,000 men. So if they had not had children, of course, most of them were young kids, like 17, 16. They lied about their age. Some were 14, 15. If they died, Brother John, then their progeny or their generation was cut off. They if they didn't have children, surely being dead, they couldn't have any more. But how'd you get here? That's what I asked them up there, you know, 200 people in Brother Ron's congregation. I said, how'd you get here? You had somebody that fought in the Civil War in your family if you live here long enough. Amen? Amen. I said, there was an angel. Amen. There was an angel that watched over whoever that was in those battles and moved your head over one way or moved that bullet over. You think I'm crazy? No, I ain't crazy. It's the sovereignty of God to get you here. Didn't Brother Brown say he bred this one to this one, this one to this one, this one to this one to get you here?
Yeah, right.
So you're here. Amen. Fight. Amen. Fight to win, though. Don't fight just to play.
Right.
Paul said, I press or push toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Now watch. So fight I, not as one that... Now, what kind of fight is that? You're beating the air. No, what is he saying? I have a purpose for every punch that I put out. I have a purpose. Remember Muhammad Ali? You know, brother, Jewel Forney, he loved Muhammad Ali. He loved boxing, but he loved Muhammad Ali. He said, oh, Muhammad Ali would be boxing and said, you'd think you'd hit him three or four times. And, you know, they do that thing where they grab you to try to get their breath back, you know. He said he'd whisper in the ear of that opponent. He said, I'm going to knock you out in a few minutes. And then he'd get back up and he'd say, I'm going to knock you out in a few minutes. And he probably most of the time did. But that was the confidence that he had. But he wasn't beating the air. So God's not beating the air. Any move that we make should be a move that God has saw that we make, good or bad, indifferent. I mean, we make mistakes. But Paul says, I'm going to run, not uncertainly. That's like at Gettysburg. You know, at Gettysburg, it was a great battle. You know, the South got whipped pretty bad. But there was a time in there that they could have won the war. They could have won that battle. Not the war, but the battle. If they had made a certain move. They were uncertain about a certain area, and they didn't go to it. Well, the Union got it, and it was high ground, and they got whipped. You and I, as Christians, we shouldn't be uncertain about what God's done for us and what he's going to do for us. And it doesn't matter. Listen, they're going to fall in battle. I may fall. You may fall. But somebody is going to make it. Somebody is going to stand one day and say, death, you've lost the great battle. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 said, fight the what? Good fight. Oh, wowsy, woo. Oh, woe is me. No, come on.
That's right.
Bring it on. You say you're crazy. No, I want this thing to get going. I want it to be over with. I want somebody to stand on their own two feet and do as the prophet said. When death comes up your arm, you just go wipe it right off. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession. Now listen, I was talking to somebody today. Sister Frieda, her profession was perfect. You never knew she was sick. But the Lord, by providence and by sovereignty, took her home last night. But you never really knew, because June and I talked to her two Wednesdays ago. We were going home and she wanted to talk about the end. And she's like, I'm good. I feel okay. So they're going to do this certain thing and this certain thing and this certain thing. And Janet said she talked to her a couple days ago. So her profession was, and how many of you know my dad? Most of you know my dad. You grew up with him. How many times have you ever seen him profess he was sick? How you feel, Doc? I feel great. What's that lump on your head? I'm fine. But it's a profession. You got to profess it to possess it.
Right.
All right? And has professed a good profession before many witnesses. So you can't just go to one person, Brother George. You got to go to the world. Everywhere you go, you got to profess that you're a Christian. Doesn't matter if you're laying on your deathbed. God still's a healer. Now, Brother Ram tells us that. Brother Ram said, I couldn't find it because I couldn't word it right. Brother Ram said, if God never decides to not heal another person, he said, I'll still preach divine healing. Now, how in the world? Because he's looking at something different besides all the circumstances. He's looking at a prize. You and I should be looking at a prize. We know, and we know as human beings, there's gaps left in our life. But God will fill them up. He said he would. He said he'd never put more on you than you can stand, but you just don't really know how much you can stand until he puts it on you. That's what Sister Noma Jeffries, remember Junior, he passed away. He wasn't but, 50 maybe at the most, had brain cancer, and passed away. And she said, Wade, why? Why would God take him? Of course, you can say that. That's okay to question like that. Why would God take him? I said, the only thing I can tell you is, Noma, is God knows you could take it. Because I'd go back crazy if that woman over there died. Put me in asylum. Don't you die. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. But I said, God knew you could handle it. Or he wouldn't put it on you, because he said he'd not put more on you than you can take. Can we not start listening to what God's already said about us?
Right. Come on.
And hang on to that. We know it's going to be a battle, but listen, those battles at Gettysburg and Sharpsburg and all those different places, they were battles that there were many questions and many mistakes, and you, who knew was going to win that battle? We know who wins this battle.
Amen.
We know we win this battle. Amen. Sister Frieda won her battle.
Amen.
And all the different ones has passed on. We got a whole, we've been here 52 years, brother, and we've got a lot of people that's passed on. But we've got a thing downstairs. It's our little hall of people returning from at 8. We took a picture of them at 18 or 20 years old, like Brother Ram said, and they're on a wall downstairs. That's what they'll look like. We'll not see Frieda. See, I'll know her because I knew her when we were 13, 14 years old. Pretty blonde girl, I have to say. And that's what she'll be. She'll be 18 years old. She won't be the Frieda with no hair, wrinkles. Whatever was there was gray. No, never see that again. Brother Tatum, for y'all that knew him, you know, he had so much arthritis, his hands were like this. Yeah. Never will we see that again. Yeah. Never will we see Brother Al struggling for breath or Brother Gary struggling for breath, Brother Gary Atkins. We'll never see that again. Listen, we'll never even hear a cough out of them. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. That has preserved us, told us what we're going to be.
That's right.
That's why the prophet of God can stand there and say, I'm scared of this. He was standing in the sixth dimension. He said, if I got to go back and get in that. And they said, yeah, your time's not done yet. You got to go back down there and get in that body. He said, why? I think I'll just stay here. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art called. All right, we're called for this. And has professed a good profession before many witnesses. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. We'll finish right here. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Continue with the crown of life has been laid up for me. Like Brother George was talking, and I've always said, you can't hurt a theophany. You can't hurt a theophany. When Paul put his head on that chopping block, whatever mom and daddy brought was laying on that chopping block, right? He was a human. He was a mortal. But inside that man was a theophany. And when they chopped his head off, brother, he didn't have to pick his head up in another dimension. There's not a gun. There's not a knife. There's not a nuclear bomb. Nothing can harm your soul if you're born again. Listen, Frieda's sickness wasn't in her soul. It was in her body.
Yeah,
all right? Her soul was redeemed, eternal. And because you know why? That's what pulled her into that other dimension.
Yeah.
It matched what was here and here, and it come together.
Right.
If it wasn't, then she went somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
But it matched.
Amen.
And they just said, come on. Come in, wait for a little while. Frieda's like, I looked at my hand. And my hands were new. I looked at my feet. Joel says feet. I looked at my feet, and my feet were too. I looked all around me shine. Won't it be a time?
Amen.
Talking with the angels. We don't have to talk to angels. We're going to talk to people. People that went on before and said, hey, don't worry. Just sit right here for a little while. And I like what Brother George told his wife. See, there's another one, Brother George Quinn. He lost his wife in March of this year. A man of faith. A man of absolute faith. He watched his wife for 2 years with dementia go down, 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 and pass. He said he was sitting there looking at her, and he said all of a sudden, he said, praise God, a milky white substance came up out of her body and then poof, disappeared. You don't have to open the door to get your soul out. Yeah, there ain't nothing formed of man down here. If you died at Fort Knox in the middle of the wherever they put the money, well, it ain't there no more because we ain't got none. But your soul wouldn't have to wait till somebody dialed the right number to get you out of that box. And they, listen, they ain't gonna have to pull your body out of a grave either when you come back into resurrection. I have fought a good fight. I finished my court. I have kept the faith. And he was heading toward his death. He knew. But Paul knew he had persecuted the Christians for years and years and years. And that was always in his mind. That's why he told us, though, forgetting those things which pass.
Amen.
Let's go to the high calling of God in Christ. If we go by the grave, so what? God chooses to leave us here for the change of the body. That would be beautiful. But I'll promise you one thing. We win. We win. We have battles, but let's stand. We have battles. Yeah, y'all, hey, don't fall over. It's 8:20, okay? I do slip over into eternity every once in a while, but not tonight. But I know as human beings, musicians, come on, as human beings, we all have questions. It's okay to question, but watch what happened to Brother Branham when he questioned God. Directly. He said, God, you owe me an explanation. In other words, an understanding. And God's like, no, I don't. And I'm going to let you cry about it for a few months before I tell you what's going on. Maybe that's the same with us. Because our attitude, what Ernie Villanueva always tell us, our attitude determines our altitude. All right? I miss Brother Ernie, too. There's another one. Passed on. Loved him. Big gap there. He was a great saint. He was a great missionary. And Brother Royal Soriano, good friend of mine, buddy in the Philippines, God took him. It's his sovereignty. So we don't question God. I'd rather question myself than question him. Question myself. Where do I stand? Where am I at with God? Not why did that happen to that person over there? Because listen, Brother Brown told us that what? The new birth is what? It's an individual affair with God. Individual. It's you and God alone there. That's why I said about family. When family has an issue and a crisis, let family be together, blood family. And then our church together, we will come together. There's no doubt we'll all come together and do whatever we need to do to feed them, hug them, love them, preach to them, bury them, dedicate them, whatever we can do. But God's sovereign. And listen, don't you think God doesn't know what he's doing? He knows every move he makes is perfect.
Amen.
He can't make a move and go, oops. God has no oops moments. I'm going to be glad when we don't have any either. Because I have about 25 a day, every hour. How do you know I have that many? Oh, you're talking about you. Okay. Lord bless you. We're going to miss Sister Frieda.
Amen.
She was could sing like a lark. She always had them hands. Sit right over there. She always had them hands up. Doesn't matter if she didn't have a hair on her head. She still had them hands up.
Amen.
Praising God. For her healing.
Amen.
Well, she got it.
Amen.
This one was permanent.
Amen.
Listen, you'd be healed today and die tomorrow. The same thing. You know what the prophet said? But you can't be spiritually healed and die tomorrow. No, that's for an eternity. God bless you. Let's sing a song. If anybody has a need.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night.
Lights and a bathroom and a comfy bed and three hots in the cot. No. They were sitting in a musty old jail, Brother Danny, and they still were singing. And God came on the scene to loose their chains.
I bless your name.
Thank you, Lord, for everything you give us.
I bless your name.
For being in a path of Sister Frieda and all the different ones, Lord. Thank you for putting us in paths together, Lord. Just be with the family, Lord, and protect them, Father. Just be with us as a church family, Lord. And just wrap your great arms around each one of us, Lord.
The truth.
The way.
Your name.
Sing it to him.
Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison.
How many of you's been there? But what did he say you do? Reach out. Reach out and praise. Defy those chains that feel heavy and make you worn and weary. Defy them and lift your hands. In one person's name.
In Jesus' name.
Sing it to him.
Oh, I bless your name.
Thank you, Father.
I bless your name. I give you all.
There's nothing here on this earth, folks. Nothing that'll satisfy you like Jesus Christ. Sing it to him again.
I bless your name. I bless your name.
Thank you, Father.
I give you all.
You know how to give him honor and praise? By doing what he said. Do what he says.
You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name.
Let's sing that second verse again before we go.
I bless your name.
Some midnight hour.
When you should,
if you should find, can't call nobody, can't get anybody on the phone. The Lord Jesus is always where you can find him. Amen.
Reach out and praise.
Defy that heavy thing that's burdening you tonight. Defy that thing. It's not for you. Give it back to the devil.
In Jesus.
Give it back to him. Say, here, it's yours.
Bless your name.
Get your grubby hand off of
him. I bless your name.
Sing it to him.
I give you honor. Give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way.
Listen, we're going to lose some battles, but the war's already won. You're going to lose some battles, but you know what? What's a character of a great soldier? They get up, and they get to the next battle. They get up and head to the next battle. Those people in the Confederacy, I'm just going to brag on the South for a minute. What Brother George and I were talking about, of course, he knew them all by name. But those sharpshooters, they were outnumbered. In half of their battles, they were outnumbered almost 2-1. The North had the biggest cannons. The North had the most people. the North had the most guns. But the South had a resolve. They didn't want them people in their territory. Well, you can call it right or wrong if you want to. That's okay. But take the analogy of this, okay? They didn't want them people on their territory because they were Southerners and they were proud of being Southerners. Well, why can't we be proud of being a Christian? Amen. Why can't we be proud if somebody comes on your territory?
That's right.
They get out of here.
Yes.
You have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to do those things.
Amen.
Your children. Your wife, your husband, your job, all that. Yes, we do need more faith, but let's use the faith we got.
Amen.
Who was that that said, if the devil knocks all of our teeth out, let's just gum him to death?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
That means don't quit.
Right.
We can't quit because one falls or two falls or we question why God did this. You can't question God. God takes who he wants, does what he wants, and it's always perfect. You got to realize that. It's all every move God makes. Listen, can you die before God wants you to die? A sinner can't die unless God releases his life. So whose hands is it? It's in God's hands. It's in God's hands, and I believe God has given us a message that we can defy the devil. Say, hey, buddy, you might have won this battle, but you're definitely not winning the war. Oh, he thought, I got Jesus. I got him. He's down here. Well, boy, he found out a little bit different, didn't he? He found a little bit different. Listen. Jesus didn't just kick him over in his house and lock the door. He took his keys. The devil, the only power the devil has is what you give him. Remember, we've been preaching on permitted power. Power was given to this horse and power was given to this rider. Power, God give them power. God give them power. He gives Satan power to prove us. But it was permitted power. Remember Job? Satan wasn't even looking for Job. Hey, where you been, Satan? I've been over here. To and fro. Over here. Hey. You considered Donnie Fallbush? Oh, you got a hedge around him. Hey, so I'll take the hedge down. Satan's like, huh, okay. Thank you. He's getting ready, and God said, you know what God said? He said, uh-uh. Can't take his life. I'm the only one who can do that. Can't take his life. And what happened to Job? He lost children. He lost his whole economy. Lost his house. And almost lost his wife. And sat on an ash heap with boils. My dad used to have boils. And they would come up and they were the nastiest things you ever seen in your life. He had to have shots to get them to keep away from him. But they were horrible. And the Bible said he had them from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. So he was really uncomfortable on that ash heap. But what did he do one day? He stood up and he said, hey. What God say? He said, hey, Job, get up. Stand up on your feet. I want to talk to you for a minute. And Job had a revelation. He said, oh, I know my Redeemer living. And said, in the end time, the last days, in my flesh, I'll see God. Is that your resolve? Doesn't matter if we go by the grave, pass on from this earth. There's one thing for sure. I won't come back here and need false teeth. Praise God. I won't need to color my hair, which I don't, because it'll already be colored, because it was black when I was 18 years old and I had a bunch of it. That ought to make people happy anyway, to be back. You know, 18 years old, prime of life. But listen, if God would let us go back to that, brother, sister, and we just lived again, we'd die. Look at Lazarus. It was a great thing that Lazarus came up out of that grave, but that's not the resurrection I'm looking for. Because Lazarus died. I want to see a resurrection where nobody dies again. Everybody that comes up. What a youth camp. Talk about one in Bethel. We're going to have one right at the change of the body. We're going to have a youth camp. We're going to be so young. The Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Father, I pray that what's been said has helped the people, Lord. I pray that you'd comfort Sister Frieda's family, Lord, the Robert side and also the Duncan side, Lord, that you'd bless them both, Lord, and bring them together, Lord, and there not be any contention or anything going on between them, Father, that they'll come together, Lord, and be a family, Father. I pray that you'd bless this church family, Lord, that as we battle through this, losing a couple of people in the last couple of weeks, Lord, I pray that you'd comfort each one, Lord. If there's a time, Lord, we need to do just like the song says, we need to just reach out and start praising God. Start praising you, Lord, and not be giving the devil any due or any room to operate. Father, I praise your great name, Father. Thank you that you've given us under this prophet messenger the revelation of that name, the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not titles, but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the family I want to be under, Lord. That's the family we want to be under. That's the family Sister Frieda's under. Now she's with them now. Lord, I pray that you comfort each one, Father. Just be with us till we get back, come back together. Be with the ones that are coming in and out and going back and forth, Lord. We ask your blessings on them, Lord. And we'll be here Sunday, Father, if Lord willing, at 9:45. Lord, to continue this again, Father, we pray that you'd sanctify us for this journey. Bless the people on the highway as they go home, Father. I pray that you'd be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you want to go visit Dad, you can go visit him. Visiting hours is like 8 to 8, but just make sure you try to knock on the door and call before you come. But he sure would like to see you. Mom would love to see you too.
Bless your name.
God bless you. You're dismissed. I give you all.